Welcome to Let's Talk Loyalty, an industry podcast for loyalty marketing professionals. I'm your host, Paula Thomas, and if you work in loyalty marketing, join me every week to learn the latest ideas from loyalty specialists around the world. Hello, and welcome to today's episode of Let's Talk Loyalty and Loyalty TV. Today, we're featuring a corporate name that originally I wasn't familiar with, but which in fact includes five leading omnichannel grocery brands in the United States. Ahold Delhaize USA is a division of global food retailer Ahold Delhaize and includes Food Lion, Giant Food, The Giant Company, Hannaford, and Stop & Shop, which taken together comprise the largest grocery retail group on the East Coast and the fourth largest grocery retail group in the nation. My guest is Megan Chickrell, and she is the Senior Manager of Loyalty Strategy for AD USA. Megan joins me today to share some of the incredible learnings from the many years across her career, leveraging loyalty from multiple retail brands. I hope you enjoy our conversation. I'm delighted to announce Cathalry Technologies as the new title sponsor for Loyalty TV. Cathalry's mission is to bring the loyalty market out of the 1980s and into the present, ditching the slow, chunky manual services of the past. Cathalry's all about making loyalty management easy with scalable AI-powered tech that turns loyalty managers into superheroes. Say goodbye to outdated methods and check out the exciting new way to achieve loyalty excellence in 2024. So, Megan, welcome to Let's Talk Loyalty and to Loyalty TV.
Hi, so great to be here.
Honestly, it's just a joy to meet somebody who is as passionate about our industry as I am. I know you're fully committed to our whole industry with an amazing career that you're going to talk to us about today. I know you've listened to the show a lot as well, so a real honor to hear all of the kind of work you're doing. So welcome, and I'm looking forward to a great conversation with you.
Me as well.
Here we go. Let's go for it. Brilliant stuff, Megan. So first and foremost, as you know, we have a very important opening question, which all of our audience really look forward to hearing from everyone that we bring on the show. So you're in the hot seat right now. So tell us, what is your favorite loyalty program?
As I think about loyalty programs, I don't really have a single favorite. What really stands out to me is when a program effectively uses their data that they collect to enhance my personal local experience. There are a few programs that come to mind that I feel like that do localization really well. Starbucks and Panera, for example. But I promise not all the great ones are food related. I believe the more companies can connect with customers in a way that makes their lives easier, the more successful they can really be. I'm truly passionate about seeing brands maximize their data collection to show they understand where a customer is, how the local weather might be impacting them, or which products or flavors might resonate the most. To me, it's about illustrating that the company values the trust that the customer has placed in them, that we're not just a big corporation, but we're your neighborhood store run by people who understand your community. Ultimately, it's about building those connections, I think, that foster loyalty and create that long-lasting relationship.
But yeah, I think the associate engagement is really key to anything you implement within any kind of business-to-consumer experience. Mm-hmm. A lot of times that gets lost, I feel like. We end up with like this MBA financial approach to business. And it's like, that's all true. But we also need to keep in mind the connection from the business to the stores and the customer base. Yeah. That's something that Ahold Delhaize actually does, I think, really well, especially at Food Lion. It goes beyond the customer is always right to more of a count on me is how they approach it, where it empowers the associates to provide whatever interaction is needed to make things right and can maintain that relationship with the customer.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. And it was your LinkedIn. I can't remember the context, Megan, forgive me, but I wrote down this because I really liked it. And it might even have been the actual company LinkedIn page, but there was this idea of treating customers like neighbors. And mm-hmm. I thought that was gorgeous, you know, because nobody's going to be, you know, either abrupt or whatever. You know, we've all seen store associates that don't do a good job at the point of sale for whatever reason in different kind of outlets. But it feels like you guys have that level again of integrity in terms of how you want everyone to feel when they come into any of your branded stores?
I would say across all five of our brands, we really try to tie into neighborhoods. Nobody wants to feel like they're shopping solely at a corporation from a price perspective. You want to feel like you're going to your everyday around the corner grocer and you're going to get the best local produce and at the best price so that you're not having to choose, as Food Lion likes to say, between gas and rent or dinner and I'm sorry, it's it's gas and groceries or dinner and rent.
Totally got it. Totally got it. No, that's cool, Megan. And we'll definitely get into talking now. I know there's definitely a lot of inflationary pressure. So your industry does have, I suppose, a whole unique set of challenges, I guess, as well, because it is, you know, that the household, you know, budget in terms of feeding our families. So definitely keen to get into exploring all of that. But let's backtrack a bit, Megan. As I said in the opening, you've been in loyalty. You love loyalty, a bit like me. As soon as you found it, I think you've never left. So just for the sake of our global audience who might not have come across you personally, first of all, would you give us a sense of how did you get into the industry in the first place?
Yeah, I have to say I kind of stumbled into it. I went to school for something that always scares my mom, law and society, which essentially was a lot of psychology and anthropology, which seems like a natural state into marketing, right? You need to understand the psychology of the consumer, and ended up in manufacturing and stumbled into loyalty at Sears, where I got to have the wonderful experience of being what we called in the trenches at the start of their Shop Your Way Rewards program. And from that point on, I've never left. And it's been like an ongoing evolution of experience and knowledge. I credit all the people that I've met along the way for really helping to teach me not only the emotional connection to the customer being the core of what we do every day, but the financials and the really technical planning behind loyalty to be successful and how to integrate within an organization to utilize business objectives to meet the needs of the customer. So I've worked at Sears, Chico's, FAS, White House Black Market, Tractor Supply, Food Lion, and mm-hmm. Food Lion is a subsidiary of now Ahold Delhaize. So
okay, brilliant. Well, thank you for that. The tractor one sounds the most unusual, Megan. Was that like a B2B, I guess, or is it like directly to farmers? I mean, I just don't know anything about that industry.
Yeah, so it is definitely an up-and-coming industry. Highly recommend the stock. but it actually, they meet, you know, it's they like to be out there with their customers. So they are a rural supplier. Interestingly enough, though, over 50% of their business is pet supplies. And that includes everything from, you know, cat, dog, bird. I still go there for all of my bird seed. I like to, you know, think I'm Snow White or something. But they also do, you know, hay and feed for horses. They sell chickens like 42 weeks out of the year or something, like live chicks. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's more of a everyday retailer for your rural farmers, but they are popping up in more suburban areas as the sprawl of like within the US, it's a trend, at least, especially with COVID, like your backyard farmers, if you will, mm-hmm. People everywhere started wanting to buy chickens to raise and like doing their like millennial gardens, if you will. we all picked up like our old woman habits like at 30. So started, absolutely. You know, gardening and everything. So they have over 1,000 stores across the US mm-hmm. in both suburban and rural areas. Some of their main competitors would be like Farm and Fleet or Rural King.
Okay. Okay. And tell us then, as I confessed in the opening section, I don't really know or didn't really know the corporate brand of Ahold Delhaize USA. So for anyone like me, would you mind introducing now the business where you are? We've talked a little bit about the actual grocery brands that you do represent, but just a bit about the corporation and a sense of the scale, because you guys are actually very, very impressive.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Ahold Delhaize, I would say conservatively, is probably one of the top five retail groceries within the U.S. So we are under the ADUSA brand, but we are part of global Ahold Delhaize, which is based in the Netherlands. So we have a much broader reach, if you will. But U.S. based, we are consist of Ahold and Delhaize. They were merged probably about 10 years ago now. The Delhaize brands represent Food Lion in the Southeast and Hannaford up in Maine. And then the Ahold brands represent everything in between. So we have Giant Food out of Landover, Maryland, Giant and Martin's out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, and Stop and Shop out of the Boston Quincy area. So across those five great local brands is how we like to, you know, mention them, is roughly over 2,000 stores, over 20 million customers. So we have a broad reach along the East Coast. And then ADUSA also has an office out of Chicago with a lot of our technical product IT groups.
Okay. Yeah. And that 20 million number, thank you, Megan, for that. Very helpful. The 20 million is loyalty customers, as in people registered, signed up across the five different brands. Am I getting it right?
Yeah. So grocery is one of the oldest loyalty within the US. Yeah. They are carded customers. So essentially at some point we have a card assigned to a customer's individual transactions.
Amazing. I do love the jargon at the individual kind of levels, you know, in different sectors, different verticals. I'm much more ex-airline background. Like, I've got all that jargon down pat, but I've never done retail. So there you go, learning by talking to you. So amazing brands, clearly you've touched on. How do you guys manage loyalty? Is it brand by brand? Is it across the whole corporation? Tell us about the proposition or propositions that you have in market.
Yeah, so it's both a little individual brands as well as some scalability. Obviously, we're always looking for efficiencies, both for strategy, testing, as well as execution. So I like to refer to Delhaize as dollars and Ahold as points, because Delhaize through Food Lion and Hannaford both issue dollar-based reward structures, whereas the Ahold brands are points and gas.
Okay.
So within those, we have personalization through rules-based engine supporting monthly campaigns, as well as ad hoc campaigns and mass campaigns. There's a whole slew of stackable gamified support for our customers' savings needs. But I personally support Giant Food and Giant Company, and their approach is monthly campaigns through individual transaction offers, as well as what internally we refer to as more continuity or multi-trip driving offers. So you might see it as a challenge where you spend $50 in produce over the course of a month period, and you might earn 500 points. So something along those lines would be a multi-trip driver. And we combine those based off of the business objectives and personalized offer strategy. So really highlighting what offers we have that would make sense based on the customer's purchase history, as well as our business objectives. So we might be highlighting private brand right now, which is one of our big initiatives over the next 5 years, which is a hot topic, I'd say, within the industry, is how do we elevate private label as an exclusivity play, as well as a price play for our customers.
interesting. I like that mm-hmm. because that's a side of loyalty, Megan, that we don't talk about a lot, you know? And I've always said on the show, like, we've called it Let's Talk Loyalty, but not Let's Talk Loyalty Programs, you know, to allow for that kind of insight to come through. So you're absolutely right. Like, certainly in Ireland, the private labels were originally seen as, I suppose, the discount version, probably manufactured by the same people as the big brands. But there was an opportunity to have, I suppose, the savings piece, which, I mean, I know you guys are having some inflationary challenges in the US. So I guess that private label piece is growing, as you said, at that level. But you're right. I had forgotten about the exclusivity piece as well, even in, to me, more discount grocery retailers. Again, back in Ireland, it was lovely to see a luxury positioned product because, of course, then it meant I had to go back to the store to pick it up every time once I fell in love with it. So actually, there's an importance of doing, I guess, both ends of the scale.
Yeah, we actually launched across our Ahold brands this past spring, a program called Compare and Save, where we stick national brands against our private label, similar to, not dissimilar, I would say, to, I believe, Trader Joe's, which is also a US grocery store specialty, I'd say, where you can try something. And if you don't like it, we stand behind it with guarantees. But similarly, we are trying to illustrate the price savings opportunity of national brands to private label. And then to your point regarding exclusivity, we have seasonally relevant, what we call limited time only offerings that support, you know, right now it's fall in the US, so pumpkin spice is king. So pumpkin everything. I'm always looking for my pumpkin fix.
I just bought my first pumpkin style cookies. I don't think they're pumpkin flavored, but anyway, definitely we're in the fall season here, and Halloween is a really big one. So, I mean, that's a huge amount. I mean, given what you've just talked through, Megan, and you told me off air some of the scale, I suppose, on the personalization, which I'd love if you wouldn't mind touching on again for the sake of the audience in terms of, you know, how many offers is an individual customer, you know, likely to be able to look forward to in maybe their monthly mailing. I'm assuming it's all predominantly digital, kind of email based or app based as well, I guess, is probably where you're doing most of that communication. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, great questions. I'll try to go down the list because there's a lot there.
Yeah.
We actually, I mean, like everybody else, we're trying to optimize through cost efficiencies, providing more digital opportunities for customers to save more. But I will say in the US, that's become a hot topic so that we aren't excluding any customers legally from accessing savings. So we do still have mailers and mass offer savings, but it's not necessarily going to everybody. Some of our brands like to do what they call channel of choice. So depending upon where consumers are getting an offer, and if they redeem that offer, that then becomes their channel of choice. That could be direct mail. It could be, we have at the point of sale registers, we have what we call Catalina printers. They're a partner of ours. So it could be through them. It could be, we've been, Food Lion has these, but we've started testing and expanding with Stop and Shop. And this coming year, hopefully Giant Company and Giant Food, what we call kiosks. So when you walk in the store, there's a literal, you know, physical kiosk where you put in your phone number and it prints out and it assigns all of your coupons to your card. So when you go to the register and put in your phone number, those apply as well. Or through email and through the app. Those are all different channels that we support. Obviously, we all want digital, though, to continue to engage with them at a better rate from a marketing cost perspective. And then what else did you ask?
Well, it was a lot. Sorry, Megan. I get excited sometimes and I'm just like, oh, my God. And honestly, like, I never had the CRM piece, like, you know, that, you know, everyone on, I guess, who listens to the show would probably know that, like, I started in loyalty on the, like, partner negotiations piece, which mm-hmm. is why I always had this, like, you know, fascination with the broader industry. So that's why I love hearing from people like you, because there's so much that happens that, again, whether it's as a consumer or anyone outside of certainly grocery retail, I don't think we have an appreciation of the complexity of what you're actually rolling out on a month-to-month basis.
Well, and it's interesting you say that. I recently talked with the industry group, Loyalty 360, about AI and the influence of AI on loyalty. And I realized kind of during the conversation and before it that we in loyalty have been doing AI for years through personalization. It just hasn't necessarily been completely automated, but it should feel automated to the customer based on the personalization levels. So I think one of the questions that you had asked is like the number of offers that we're distributing to customers, or how are we helping them save and personalize their experience? And I would say that that really varies based off of business rules, campaigns, budgets, of course. Yeah, because that's always a thing. At frequency of shop, life cycle is always key. Segmentation logic. So we have, you know, proprietary segments that we use in order to try to get more nuanced in the types of offers individuals are receiving, but also messaging and channel frequency. So those all play a role in loyalty. So it's definitely a CRM aspect that I think really helps drive overall program strategies. But there's also the nuance that I think you've talked about more frequently in your past podcasts that I've heard is how does the organization utilize loyalty to meet the needs of the business as well as the customer? And so we try to find the data side of that, obviously measuring the incrementality of the individual transactions and how we're driving the customer behaviors, but also trying to support the programmatic plans of the business.
Well, that is, I mean, the biggest topic overall, Megan, of course, is measuring through incrementality. Do you feel you have that nailed? Is it something that is, you know, I suppose, well understood internally? I'm guessing it is, again, just by virtue of the maturity of your sector. So, like, honestly, it was the part that always made me the most uncomfortable. Again, I was in telecommunications. I'm like, how am I proving this is incremental again? I mean, I just never quite got my head around it. But I think it sounds like you guys really do have that quite robustly measured at this stage.
We do have some pretty robust measurements. I would say it's always evolving based off of data. Data is always changing. I mentioned Ahold and Delhaize merged roughly 10 years ago. Data is not all together. It's always being, you know, finessed and validated. So we are currently reviewing how we measure incrementality, because we do want to make sure that we're supporting not only campaign views and brand views, but also down to our CPG partners. You may or may not have read, we are rolling out more expansive partnerships through 80 retail media. So we're always trying to make sure that we're illustrating value to our CPG partners and brand partners from the top down and from the bottom up.
And that's a whole separate topic, Megan. So I think we'll have to make sure you're coming back on the show just to talk about retail media at some point, because that to me is something that really is very nascent, massive opportunity. And I'm starting to see it coming through in lots of different retail networks. I saw a big conference on it there in Australia last week. And I've seen some of the big groups of retailers here in the UAE as well starting to roll those out. It's not something I would confess I don't really understand too much as yet, but again, your sector, your industry is exactly where I think you guys are leading in terms of, first of all, the relationships with the CPG brands and their willingness, I suppose, to support getting in front of the right, I suppose, target customer, because that's the whole point from their perspective.
Yeah, and it's a challenge to remain true to the brand and to the customer, while also meeting the needs of the business financially and the CPG's goals, right? So yeah. We want to make sure that we always operate with integrity and are thinking about what makes sense for the customer. Again, it goes back to what we started talking about at the very beginning. I try to like use the customer as my North Star in every decision I make, and I'll never go wrong. Because if I put myself in their shoes, it's like, how frequently do I really need an email from a grocery store? How many offers do I really want? Or am I going to like clip in order to go shopping at a specific brand? How am I going to choose which national brand I really want to, you know, shop at? But also, we're working with these partners to help elevate their brand. So there's this fine balance, right? So it's always trying to, you know, operate through integrity, but also support the customer.
Totally, totally. Well said. And you guys definitely, I mean, to me, the US is, you know, the king and queen of couponing. So there are so many reasons to communicate, which all feel super important and valid again, depending where we are in the value chain. So I totally get it. But you're right, you know, at the end of the day, like sometimes I've signed up, I know to, I do think particularly US brands and, you know, I get four emails in one day and I'm like, oh my God, like, you know, just run a million miles away. So it is funny, and you're right, we have to balance the needs of all of them. And before I forget, actually, I did want to compliment you on what you were talking about there as well on the legal side. So from my background, and this is in terms of the availability of coupons that you briefly touched on, like when I certainly, again, worked in loyalty back in Ireland, we definitely had, you know, I suppose more like moral obligations that we felt we wanted to make sure whatever offers, particularly it happened to be in the electricity sector, that, you know, there would be perhaps older demographics that mightn't be digitally savvy. And therefore, when we were building our loyalty proposition, we really had to think long and hard about, you know, were we excluding people and how to be fair and cost effective at the same time. But I didn't realize it was a legal requirement in the US, which is what I think I heard you say.
Well, not so much a legal requirement, but it's become a topic in certain states, making sure that we aren't excluding people based off of their access to digital savings. I will say the brands that, to your point, take into account all customers seem to me to be the most successful. So when we think about our programs, we're looking at that new kiosk as a way to really provide that opportunity for customers who may or may not use it, their cell phone, may or may not want to download the app, to be able to continue to engage with us and still receive personalized savings. Because I think at the end of the day, when it comes to loyalty, it's how do we get away from mass marketed offers that drive minimal lift comparatively for redeemer, non-redeemer, and move more towards that personalized opportunity.
100%. You know, like it's a very well used phrase and something everybody who listens to this show, of course, is working their ass off, dare I say, to deliver. Sorry, I couldn't think of any other better way to say it right now. But honestly, I got an email during the week from a travel brand, which shall remain nameless, but they sent me an offer to go to Mecca in Saudi Arabia. And I'm like, I mean, on what planet am I likely to travel to Saudi Arabia to go to Mecca? I'm not sure what kind of data they picked up on me, but that is not my world at all. So I was like, I think we've a long way to go. I do think you're further along the track, but I guess I'd love to ask you that. Like, how well do you feel you are doing it, given that, as you've said, you know, there's legacy architecture, for example, so there is always technical challenges, no matter where any of us is in the industry. So whether we're new or old or whatever, there's always something that needs to be upgraded or built and maintained. So if you were just to kind of say, how do you feel about the personalization that you're managing to deliver at this stage? Like, do you feel it's at a good stage of advancement, given, as you said, like we've been using AI type technology for a long time, even if we didn't call it that?
Yeah, I would say, as with my career, where I've continued to make growth with every move I've made, grocery is by far, at least within my company, that I can say the most advanced when it comes to personalized scoring and offer assignment. It really, having tried to stand up personalized rules engines, it is a huge lift, both through the technical server side, as well as the business rules and the time it takes to actually run without timing out, if it runs at all. We managed to do so much So a prime example of that would be our brands are able to take their weekly ad. So grocery stores have a weekly ad that goes out, right? With mm-hmm. all the items that are on sale within that store, buy like multiple what we call DMAs, but they're price zones. And we are able to run that through the engine to personalize the assortment of top 10 items that a customer might be more interested in from that weekly ad based on the pricing within their DMA and their purchase history. It, like, on top of giving them additional coupons that might align with those offers so that they can feel that they can gamify the system and stack their savings and have a reason to really keep coming back to us, because we are constantly trying to figure out how to make it feel that we are their local grocer and we are constantly thinking about them in finding price savings and assortment and convenience. So, and all through an easy communication that allows them to easily, you know, clip their savings and come in and shop with us each week. So I think that grocery, but also ADUSA has an extremely advanced system through our partners and technical services, even with the older structures.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, listen, I feel like we could talk for hours about this, Megan.
Yeah.
You're a font of knowledge, and I'm exhausted just listening to you in terms of that depth of complexity. Again, I, you know, never had that responsibility. So I really admire what you are achieving. As I said, that the personalization you guys are managing to achieve is mind-blowing, probably to most of this audience and certainly to me. So congrats on all of that. I think it's fair to say the job is never going to be done. So I guess my closing question is, in terms of the future planning, what are you thinking about in terms of prioritizing the evolution of loyalty in the business?
Yeah, I'd say we're always trying to find ways to advance the programs that make sense for the customer base. A great example of that was this past year with Giant Food, we launched RX Rewards, which helps provide a savings or a rewarding opportunity for customers who utilize the pharmacies and stores, which has been traditionally a more sensitive topic to try to, you know, go after because of HIPAA laws. But finding areas that are untapped, the white space, if you will, within the store, to ensure that the customer feels that they can both, you know, kind of trick the company into offering more savings, creating that gamification and loyalty, but also that it's in an easy format for and more approachable for them. Mm-hmm. I think finding those programs, personalizing, and finding scalable efficiencies for execution, always in order to provide more savings. Everything comes back to the customer. We always want to make it easy, convenient, affordable.
Totally. But also, I really like your insight as well, Megan, which I'm guessing goes back to your college days, which is just that idea that we all want to feel like we've kind of beaten the system. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a nuance that loyalty professionals probably appreciate more than anything. So listen, I'm going to leave it there for today. I know you love to network. So I will say, for the sake of our audience, I know you've given us permission to put your LinkedIn. Into the show notes for this episode. And, you know, just to give a shout out to everybody who does want to connect with you, whether it's to talk about, you know, retail media or, you know, personalization or any of the amazing topics we've talked on today. You've really been a brilliant guest from my perspective, Megan. So listen, is there anything else that you wanted to mention that I didn't ask you about before we wrap up?
I mean, only that I don't think I would be here today if it weren't for some really amazing mentors and supporters through loyalty and through CRM. And I think that we have an incredible network, and what you do is awesome. You've had one of them on your podcast before, Ryan Droughty from Giant Food. Yeah. So I want to highlight that we, through networking, make loyalty better for the customer every day. So reach out. I love to connect.
Amazing. Brilliant stuff. So listen, Megan Chickrell from Ahold Delhaize, thank you so much from Let's Talk Loyalty and Loyalty TV. This show is sponsored by Wise Marketeer Group, publisher of The Wise Marketeer. the premier digital customer loyalty marketing resource for industry-relevant news, insights, and research. Wise Marketeer Group also offers loyalty education and training globally through its Loyalty Academy, which has certified nearly 900 marketeers and executives in 49 countries as certified loyalty marketing professionals. For global coverage of customer engagement and loyalty, check out thewisemarketeer.com and become a Wiser Marketeer or subscriber. Learn more about global loyalty education for individuals or corporate training programs at loyaltyacademy.org. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Talk Loyalty. If you'd like us to send you the latest shows each week, simply sign up for the Let's Talk Loyalty newsletter on letstalkloyalty.com, and we'll send our best episodes straight to your inbox. And don't forget that you can follow Let's Talk Loyalty on any of your favorite podcast platforms. And of course, we'd love for you to share your feedback and reviews. Thanks again for supporting the show.